They're sending a GIF into space.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now there's a battle to have. How do we pronounce GIF or GIF?
GIF.
Yeah.
That was I got into a massive flame war on the internet.
Go again?
It's GIF.
Let's do this thing.
Hello, and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by The Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, for free and write a review. Help us get in the top 10. You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now before the aliens take over and eat our brains.
You're thinking of zombies.
Subscribe now before the zombies take over and make us slaves.
Now you're thinking of aliens.
Subscribe now before the alien zombies take over and eat our slave brains.
That works.
Brains.
Oh, no.
If you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Jarrett Lennon Kaufman.
Woot.
And John Rael.
Yay.
You know these dudes from the World of Reason.
The World of Reason.
And the internet.
And showbiz.
And Facebook.
And comment threads.
Everywhere. And
yeah,
nerd,
must be crazy.
Nerd blogs.
Nerdy stuff.
Skeptically pwned.
This is going to be the nerdiest show we've ever
Skepticism
done.
Skepticism is
this
everywhere.
This might actually lend me some nerd listeners.
I just
that
don't fit in
had.
Here.
I like it.
Yeah, you don't fit
we
in.
Will nerdify you.
I don't fit in.
Heather's too
you're not
cool.
A nerd, honey?
No.
The lights automatically went on.
You're a nerd.
Yeah, my whole house is wired to automatically turn on.
Hell
when
yeah.
Nerds are in the room.
Whose
only
isn't?
My girlfriend were. All right, so... first of all, we're smoking hookah at the table because everyone here is a hookah smoker.
With these beautifully phallic wands in our hands.
I had a bad hookah experience the other day.
You got sick?
Well, it was, yeah, that's it.
You ever get dizzy?
Well, I got dizzy and then I got, like, vomit.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was like that. And it happens in, like, a three-minute period when you're like, ooh, man, I freaking love hookah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We got to leave the restaurant now.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a bad hookah.
Yeah.
I can't see paying the prices they charge in those places.
Anyone else get sick?
No. I mean, the hookah itself was fine. It's just it had been too long. We were smoking for
like
an hour or so.
You are intaking massive amounts of nicotine.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way around it unless you... Well, there is. You can smoke the tea. But you get a body buzz from it. There's no question that it is a drug. There's no question that it does enter your bloodstream.
Drugs.
And you can get too much. Sometimes I'll be on the couch, I'll close my eyes, and the room will start to spin a little. And I'm like, all right, I got to stop doing this.
Well, that one day I passed out, but it wasn't just from hookah.
Yeah, what was it from?
I don't know. I think it was just the whole day of just running crazy.
I think you're pregnant.
It's
congratulations.
Not
it's not going to be mine.
It's not mine.
All we do is anal. I don't.
Well, if nobody's claiming it,
John wants it. Dibs.
I'll take it.
John's got dibs.
John will take the kid.
I need a minion.
So, it is a drug, and it's like caffeine. It is an insidious drug if you're not careful with it. You have to be very careful with your consumption and use of any drugs.
I've started to damage myself with caffeine, I think, honestly. I mean, I've started
caffeine will fuck you up, man.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's related, but I have this annoying thing where if I sleep too late in the morning, and if I say too late, I mean 7:45. I wake up with a headache.
You're an old man.
Yeah.
Caffeine does the same thing to me.
11:30, 12:30, but it doesn't matter what time I go to bed. I could have a ridiculous day and I could go to bed at 9 p.m., and if I sleep past a certain hour, I'm toast. I
How
go
much
to bed
caffeine
at,
do you
I
have
I go to
a
bed
day?
At 4 a.m.
How much
and
caffeine?
I'm toast.
How much caffeine?
It varies. I mean, there are days where I skip it entirely. But there are other... Well, honestly, I rarely have that much when I do. But there are days where I absolutely need it. And I really tried to avoid this a long time ago.
And you'll
ago,
get a headache if you don't get it.
Up. I think so. I mean, honestly...
There's no question for me, too.
I think that's the case.
I don't get headaches regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I use caffeine in spurts.
Mm-hmm.
And... What I do is, like, if I'm editing heavily and I really need to get up early or I really need to go a late night, I will absolutely use – all it takes for me is one coffee drink,
sure.
and I get double the time. So if you get into a regular routine, at least for me, I'm a pretty lightweight cat. If I get into a regular daily routine of using caffeine
mm-hmm.
every morning, it only takes about 2 or 3 weeks of that consistency.
before consistency, before if I skip a day, well, I will have a fucking
headache.
And that's
actually the clinically proven time period. 2 to 3 weeks is what it takes for your body to build up a tolerance and a reliance on
it. You walked in here with clinical information about caffeine.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't even a topic we were going to discuss.
I know.
What other things are we going to stumble onto, Jared Lennon-Kaufman, that you happen to have clinical information on?
I'm just
on?
That guy. People happen to ask just the right question, and I know the answer.
This is why I keep an arsenal of guys like this around me. Him, Ross Blotcher. Mm-hmm. Like, anytime I need info, they're there.
Right.
Yep.
Well, here's some info that I'd like to have.
Listen to me just agreeing with you. So
that's why I don't read anymore, because I got all these guys.
Who reads?
And your girlfriend, who just reads everything
for you. She reads every book. Name a skeptic book she's read.
John just comes up with something he finds interesting, and she says, don't worry, I got this, and reads 8 books on it.
Yep.
Wow. She just tells you everything, and you just relay it that
just
way.
Just distills it.
Okay, I want to run a video.
Okay.
Of this is a long one. We're going to watch it in parts.
Okay.
Okay.
I like it.
This is a video of a guy in Canada, who used to be apparently the leader of the Ministry of Defense there. He's no longer that. This video comes up, and it's about UFO alien disclosures. Okay? This is the guy in Canada.
Impressed with what was contained in it.
Let's go to the beginning.
Do we need to see this, or is the audio good enough?
No, it's
for us?
Just a guy sitting there like he's doing a Senate
hearing.
A hearing of some
sort.
It's
a full room of Senate.
You watched
people.
The whole thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's surreal.
I've seen it, but all right, I'll listen.
Do they have senators in Canada? I don't know if they have senators in Canada.
I have no idea.
Of course,
my weak spot. Don't ask.
I'm shaking
me
my head on radio.
So we found something you don't have data on.
That's it. Yeah.
All right. I didn't realize Canada was your
Colin
weak spot.
Colin Mockery's from there.
Got you.
Colin Mockery?
Yeah. Colin.
I don't
Whose
know.
Line is
Ryan
it anyway?
Styles.
Oh, right. There's a lot of
Alex
good comics.
Trebek.
A lot
I can
of
just
good
list
comics.
Canadians, then I'm good. All set. See, suddenly I know about Canada.
You do not
want to
be.
Because I know pop culture.
Yeah, you want to be right, don't you?
That's right. I have to be.
Okay, we got to run.
Defense,
here we go.
I had sighting reports of UFOs.
Back to the top. Let's see if it'll load. Here we go.
Although I was Minister of National Defense, I had sighting reports of UFOs. I was too busy to be concerned about them at the time because I was trying to unify the Army, Navy, and Air Force into a single Canadian Defense Force. And that itself was a kind of battle to the finish. So this was not high on my agenda. But about 10 years ago, I started getting interested due to a young man from Ottawa sending me material on the subject. I told him I was too busy to read it, but he had confidence that someday I would. It took me a while to get around to reading it, but I took it for my summer reading in 2005 and was really impressed with what was contained in it.
Okay, let's pause
and
here.
What I thought,
and let's just talk a moment about what mm-hmm. just happened there. He's about to testify mm-hmm. about aliens that exist, and his initial citation
is second or third hand reporting.
It's stuff that was sent to him by a guy in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
So
a long time ago that he took a long time to get
that
around
it took
to
forever
it.
To get to.
Right.
And so here we have an elderly old balding Canadian jagoff sitting here.
Didn't we in America start a war based on that sort of second third hand report
right.
that somebody claimed they sort of knew something?
Yeah, probably today.
Right.
With Syria.
So
did you hear about Syria?
I didn't, but
yeah,
that's a whole other book.
Yeah, we're going to war with Syria, boys.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Mark this
somebody.
Episode as the beginning of the war with Syria. So this guy, as you listen to it, mm-hmm. the first time I listened to it, Matt Kirshen was over my shoulder going, "What the fuck? What's he saying?" And I'm which is awful impression of Matt. And I'm jumping around just kind of because it's 7 minutes long, this whole thing. And I'm jumping around listening to what he's saying. And he's citing example after example after example with no evidence. There's zero evidence in this entire fucking thing.
And it's surreal because the audience gives positive feedback. Mm-hmm. There are mm-hmm. applause.
Yeah.
And
it's weird. And you know, whenever someone gets elected, there's kind of a like a joke that when you get elected to like the president or something, they take you into a room and go, "All right, here's the Area 51 stuff, and here's the alien. Nice to meet you." You know what I mean? There's this joke that this seems to be some guy's final attempt on the Earth to convince us that that's true, mm-hmm. again, with no evidence.
Yeah.
You know, there's some sort of, there's a gravitas of this guy sitting here confidently talking about this stuff.
Is there any evidence that it's a performance piece? Because it's so surreal.
It seems surreal, right? Here's some more.
Yeah.
To myself, is there are huge issues here, huge issues. And the American people and the people of the world have a right to know what's going on because they're part of it. It's not just an isolated thing. I accept the invitation of Victor Vigiani, who's over here somewhere, and his cohort, Mike Bird, to speak to a symposium at the University of Toronto. And I said, UFOs are as real as the airplanes flying overhead.
Okay, so, so right there, here we have a guy who is citing himself. This is biblical logic.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He said that I went and I said mm-hmm. this thing.
Right.
So as you listen to, I'm listening to it going, how is anybody swayed by this kind of information?
Well, and then let's also go into some of the words he used. UFOs are as real as the airplanes flying over our heads.
So does this
unidentified flying objects, not alien spacecraft.
This
UFOs.
Means airplanes aren't real, right?
That's the joke.
There you go.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, realistically, what he's just said is there are things in the sky that we're not sure what they are, and that's true. Well, yeah.
But right. even
that,
if...
That doesn't help us any.
Even if he used the words alien spacecraft,
sure.
like, that's implying just as real as airplanes, just as real meaning we could go somewhere and see them right now
that's
and
right.
look them up
right.
on Google.
That's, if they're just as real, they should be just as visible to everyone, just as easy to track down.
Not right. just him, hearsay-wise.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right, yeah, exactly. We shouldn't just need him to tell us that fact, and then we all sit back and say, oh, wow, I had no idea.
I think what he's actually saying is interstellar travel is apparently also charging for a second bag. I think maybe that's what he meant.
Distinction of being the first person of cabinet rank in the G8 group of countries to say so unequivocally.
Slow clap, slow applause.
In the 1960s sometime, it was a flotilla of UFOs headed south that crossed into NATO territory in Europe. And the commander-in-chief of the Supreme Allied headquarters in Europe was naturally very shaken. Fortunately, or maybe divine providence, before the panic button was pushed, the flotilla turned around and headed back north. Obviously, they had thought maybe they were Russian and they were very concerned about it. Anyway, an investigation was launched into this whole subject, and a document was prepared which concluded that at least four species had been visiting Earth for thousands of years.
Okay, so right there.
Wow, that's a huge leap.
I know, right?
If the document concluded it.
Yes. But so that's what we've got here.
And no evidence.
A document concludes it. There's a huge chain in between there that we need.
I'm hearing zero examples that are convincing in any way that what he's saying isn't just bullshit.
It's all assertions.
Yeah.
Evident. And the thing is, I am willing right here, right now, to believe.
I'm interested. Listen,
I wish
this were true.
It's X-Files, but I want to believe.
Yeah.
Give me something. This would be awesome. I mean, there's nothing. We're geeks here. Well, apparently Heather isn't. Well, not a nerd, anyway. We're geeks here. We want aliens to be here.
I'd
that
love
would
it.
Be so fucking badass.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't mind being killed and eaten by them. I just want to see it happen.
I wouldn't mind watching that.
Eaten how?
I'm also just imagining the argument from authority mm-hmm. that's going to mm-hmm. spew out.
Because
what was this guy?
Well, this is
defense minister.
He's the former defense right. minister.
Yeah.
But that comes with a lot
Canada.
Of gravitas.
Of Canada.
Yes.
Though of Canada. Come on. What do you expect?
You know, but he had experience doing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah. Well, people are. Every believer latches onto any authority figure they can.
And right. I mean, even
they
skeptics.
They quote everyone out of context. They'll quote Einstein until they're blue in the face in any way that they can make, you know,
out of context.
Fit their support.
Right.
And this guy is in context and on their side and an authority figure of some sort.
Yeah. Amanda thinks he looks like an alien himself.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Yeah. So I
that's
think...
proof.
You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable irritation.
Good news, everyone!
We have a premium ad-free service. We do the show for 90 minutes, and you'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour free from iTunes. The premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only 10 bucks per year. If you want to support us, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. If you like ads, you'll love this. Sucker.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now, back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jarrett Lennon Kaufman and John Rael. Thanks for being here, guys.
You're welcome.
So, anyway, that guy, it really pisses me off when I see this kind of crap. He goes on for 9 minutes. I thought it was seven. He goes on for 9 minutes. Was there anything else that you feel like we should play, John? Or it's just the same kind of crap.
He talks, I don't know if we could specifically find it, but am I on?
No, you're
Hello?
On. Yeah,
okay.
I can hear you. Can you not hear you?
Yeah, I'm missing myself here.
You're up.
Anyways, he goes on to talk about somebody at a shooting range had really good conversations or contact with the two tall white men, the
yeah,
two tall whites,
them, yeah.
or
yeah, yeah,
what are they called?
Tall whites.
The tall whites,
yeah.
Which are a,
senators.
A race of aliens.
That's
and,
him.
Yes. Yeah, and that was
mirrors,
interesting.
Dude,
that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's
yeah,
just like they're hanging with these guys. They're hanging with the aliens.
It sounds right. like always this is just wild assertions. I mean, this is the classic thing we hear where you've got hearsay, you've got third, fourth, fifth-hand accounts
yeah.
of some guy who saw this thing that one time and told his cousin told his brother, and then his brother happened to tell some guy who actually has authority, and
yeah.
then suddenly it became an important story.
This is the problem. I'm glad that we have representation that is actually representation in the U.S. Of all the people.
Sure.
I'm always bummed out when the idiots are represented well. And
applauded.
I know. And this is one of those. Yeah, this is one of those scenarios where mm-hmm. it's that guy seemed like he was doing his job based on his opening comments about how he was, you know, trying to build a ministry of defense
mm-hmm.
and get the defense.
Reading the things he's given and actually paying
yeah.
attention and
right.
making the effort.
What
Great.
Meeting is this? Did it say what it was, where they were, what they were doing?
You know, it doesn't actually give you much information.
It just
In fact,
him.
Paul Hellyer is the guy's name. Which is great. Honorable. Of course, they point out that he's the Honorable Paul Hellyer, which I think is fucking so hilarious.
See, I'd love it if this guy turns out to just be in front of a green screen and using camera footage of the audience behind him. And he's just doing this shit in his basement.
Right. So, yeah, it's really surreal. It does say a lot about it. I hadn't opened up the thing.
The,
it was published
comment.
On June 7th, 2013.
So
yeah, if you open the comments. And by the way, you can find this by searching on YouTube for Breaking. ! Three times because two or one doesn't cover it. UFO alien disclosure by Canadian Minister of Defense. That's how you go find this. I love that they misspelled defense in the they did.
No mention of unequivocal proof.
Right. It doesn't mention that at all.
Shocking. Is he going to produce documents?
You watch the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't ever say he's going to produce any documents. All he does is he speaks with authority about this. He uses terms like UFO as opposed to alien spacecraft.
Right.
He does specifically cite
the races of aliens.
Yeah, the races of aliens.
Yes.
But with
cooking
no evidence.
For thousands of years.
And this
no
is
evidence.
Recent. This was posted on June 7th.
Yeah.
It's brand new. It's
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
10 days
what
ago.
Is the science education thing like in Canada? I know it's bad in the U.S., but what's going on in Canada?
It's better than this.
As far as I'm aware, it's better than here, but that's not a high bar or anything.
Yeah. Well, listen, it only takes one guy in this situation to do what I consider to be so much damage for the cause of reality.
I wish we could get some reactions of the people in the audience.
Well, they start kind of cheering him and stuff. It's kind
of
awful.
Yeah, I wonder what the makeup of the audience is. I mean, did people know this was going to be happening, so it's front-loaded with, you know, heavy UFO believers?
Right, I don't know.
What's the deal?
I don't know. Let's see
it's
if we
scarier
can,
if it's not.
Species.
Let's see if we can go to some more here. Hold on. He's talking about the species.
More refer them to them as they because they're not an amorphous mass. They are different species and consequently may
have
what that means. Different agendas. I don't think
they're not
we can say that they all have the same agenda any more than we could say that the United States, China, and Russia.
Well, that's
Russia.
Fair. That's right. A good point. Well,
so he's trying to... Oh, my God, he turned into an alien. Do you see that shot? Holy shit, what happened? Look at him on the screen. It's awful. Told me what?
That he's an alien.
Yeah, Amanda did say he's an alien. I love there's a stamp on this image.
It's an important message, though. Don't be an alienist.
Yeah. Well, he's made a very valid point there that we can't just assume they're all together with the same motivation.
Right. Some may want to eat our bruns.
Bruns, baby.
Well, apparently they've gotten to mine.
Well, that's their accent.
Yes, that's the accent. So, thank you. Thanks for that.
Our real interests may be very similar, but as of now, our perceived interests are still quite... far apart. One more observation before I begin what I want to say.
Oh, this isn't what we want to say.
And that is that we spent quite a bit of time talking about the 66-year-old cadavers. And I was glad to have Linda this morning finally say that there are live ETs on Earth.
There's some
at
evidence.
This present time.
She said it.
Yeah, she said it.
It's about time someone said it.
At least two
I can't believe she didn't say it until now.
The United States government. The other species that I learned about, not too.
Because that implies to me the way he just referred to that as her having said that today, it sounds like he's not the only one speaking about aliens at this conference.
Right.
Whatever is going on here, it sounds like this is a UFO conference, which would explain why the audience is so gung-ho.
I
think this is an event specifically for people who are coming together to discuss this.
I see.
I have no idea how big it is, what the deal is. We really need to find some more info. But that reference there makes it sound like he's one of many speakers talking about the proof of
But it looks
alien
so
presence.
Real. It looks like a political house.
It looks like a political, scene. Here's some more.
Long ago... was called the Tall Whites.
Tall Whites, that's what they call
them. And this is when Paula Harris broke the story just a few years ago. And through her good offices, I had the chance to talk for about 3 hours with former Airman Charles Hall and listen to this absolutely fascinating story of how he was working with, first of all, he was scared out of his skin, but after that... when he got to know them, how he was working with, and finally they became to trust each other and have a good working relationship with the Tall Whites at the gunnery range at Indian Springs in Nevada. And these Tall Whites were living on United States Air Force property and working in cooperation with the United States Air Force and sharing technology with them. He wrote a book, incidentally, called Millennial Hospitality. There are four different versions, but Paula says that Millennial Hospitality number 2 is the best. I think that's the one I read, and it's a very interesting read if you want to sort of get inside the problem of what it's like to bump into these people floating across the terrain in the desert.
All right.
That is beautiful.
Enough on that for now.
So what did he do? Tell us what he did.
He told a beautiful Dances with Wolves alien story, which I guess would be Avatar, but that just sounded so romantic. You know, they're at the shooting range, getting to know each other's cultures and coming together. And
they live on the Air Force Base.
That was beautiful.
Right.
And may I also say, just now for our coming overlords.
Okay, go ahead.
Tall white power. I need to get in on their good side.
You made her do a smoke take. Wow. Yeah, it's so stunning. Now, Amanda handed her gorgeous phone over here with some information about where this happened. Does it say where it happened in this? Do you know?
I didn't get all the way through.
Yeah, she's busy doing video switching.
But it did name the event and
citizens hearing on disclosure.
So it is a hearing. This is a political hearing.
This was in Washington.
In Washington?
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's here.
Okay. So, all right, let's continue on with this guy.
My interest is in full disclosure.
That's a good interest.
And I just,
doesn't
my
pay
only
well.
Caveat is, I think probably I would say 95 to 98% full disclosure. I know of one or two things that I'm not sure should be in the public domain.
Yeah, don't tell us about when you teabagged your wife.
It will be someday, I'm sure, but not maybe immediately.
So even he's still holding back
survive,
the juicy stuff.
Yeah.
The idea of the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus when they become adult, I think that
the Tooth Fairy became an adult?
Capable of accepting the new and broader reality that we live in a cosmos teeming with life.
Well, I think that's probably
of various
true.
Sorts.
I think that's probably true.
Odds are.
The fact that some other civilizations are more advanced than we are
may be
humbling.
Okay, you've just jumped the fucking Snake River Canyon, Baldy.
And it's being kept secret by the same vested interests who control our destiny.
Oh, what's this?
Who controls
our
destiny?
Who are these vested interests?
Yes.
And what are they up to?
Oh, I want
to
hear that.
Well, Senator, you were talking about a military junta. In my opinion, that is true, but I have broadened and deepened the definition cabal. And the cabal comprises members of the Three Sisters.
Yeah, cabal. He's Canadian.
The Council on Foreign Relations.
Look, his jaw doesn't even connect.
And the Trilateral Commission.
Here he goes.
International Banking Cartel.
Here he goes.
Oh, no.
The Oil Cartel. Members of various intelligence organizations.
Mention the Jews. Mention the Jews.
Select members of the military unit. Who together have become a shadow government.
We're the Freemasons.
Whom together.
Of not only
fucking
the United States.
Illuminati in there, too.
But of much of the Western world.
That is the Illuminati.
The aim of the game is a world government
comprising
members of the cabal.
Okay, he's just a conspiracy theorist.
He's a conspiracy nut.
This is it. That's all it is.
He's connecting all of the other conspiracies.
Is he just getting this from this one paper,
this
though?
He doesn't cite where he gets it all. This is just the internet. I mean, this guy is just boiling down the internet of conspiracy theories. This explains why he doesn't need any evidence on the alien thing, because he already buys into all of this, the Bilderberg crap, all this world government, the New World Order stuff. He's heading right into the New World Order.
Yeah.
This is exactly the New World Order right here that he's walking into.
Right.
And so now apparently it's not merely all of these shadow governments working together to take over the world. Apparently the aliens are in on it too. He has just taken it up a notch from the already ridiculous.
All right, let's let him finish, and then we'll tear him apart.
Elected by no one and accountable to no one. And according to Mr. Rockefeller, the plan is well advanced. Does this help you to understand why our civil rights are being taken away from us? I say us.
He's right about that.
Because Canada, too,
is included.
We just
don't need that to explain it.
In the grand plan. So here we are more than a decade later fighting another war that can't be won.
True.
There is no country on earth powerful enough to protect its citizens against fanatical hate, as we learn from the Boston Marathon. And the mere attempt to pursue the impossible.
Oh, wait a minute.
Let's tie everything we can into this.
I know. We can't. Listen. We can't.
And Red Dye and M&M's was killing us too.
Was that a lie?
No, it was true. But
that was true.
The Bilderbergs put it in there.
They did?
Yeah.
Did they know it was going to kill us?
Absolutely.
Why would they do this?
It was just going to kill the weak people.
Oh, they're trying to strengthen the herd.
That's right.
Herd mentality.
Yep. And it had a slight mind control agent in it, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that why I love M&M's?
That was the good shit. Well, not anymore. They took it out.
I still love M&M's.
But you should see what they replaced it with.
Well, they added a purple one recently.
State power right. More from against everyone. Shit.
More from this guy.
All of the freedoms won by the millions of men and women who fought and died in World War II are being flushed in unceremoniously down the drain. The only hope of peace is a negotiated settlement. This will require a paradigm shift in American attitudes.
Plus, we got to learn their language.
It involves a de facto renunciation of the plan for a new American energy and the adoption of a pledge of cooperation with all humankind to build the kind of world which we are collectively capable of. Young people everywhere need to be challenged by a noble cause. They need to be involved in arresting global warming, creating a banking system that is just and sustainable.
I know, right?
And lead the way in the transformation to the new reality that we have to live in harmony with our celestial neighbors as well as seeking peace on Earth.
Okay. Let's applaud that guy. This
guy has no focus.
Still
no.
A slow
He's all
pause.
Over the map. Yeah. He is the classic example of the conspiracy theorist who buys every conspiracy theory they've heard, and they're all tied together, and he can't even keep a train of thought.
But wait, I got to be honest. He's a perfect example and proof of how the aliens have somehow successfully infested all of us with ADD. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're learning here. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist? Well, you have now, so go check it out. Go to www.ardentatheist.com. If you learn how gullible... Damn it, I mistyped my joke. If you want to learn how gullible human beings are, you got 90 seconds to check out Snopes.com.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jarrett Lennon Kaufman and John Rael. What is wrong with me?
We have problems today.
Yeah. Do you really want a list? We don't have that much time.
Why I oughta? So... anyway, the UFO thing just bugs me. And, you know, you touched on something, John, earlier that has always bothered me. When you say UFO, when that guy says UFO...
when anybody says UFO...
what they mean is they mean alien ship.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And synonyms for them.
Right. They mean the same thing.
Right.
And so I'm, for my listeners, I explained what a synonym was.
Cinnamon. They completely different.
They mean the same thing. Synonyms are very tasty. Mm-hmm.
And if you eat a whole teaspoon, it'll kill you.
it'll turn into a homonym.
It will kill you, will it? No.
Well,
you can't swallow a whole one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's potentially dangerous, but yes. Yeah. The cinnamon itself is hard to kill you.
There were people doing it online trying to get
the
a whole...
cinnamon challenge.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
You'll choke on
somebody
it.
Somebody died, didn't they?
No.
You can choke on it because the way it overwhelms your mouth.
Somebody had to
you end up breathing
hospital.
It in and then choke on it.
Yeah, it's powder. Yeah. It just fucking goes
nuts. And I forget what's in it, but you can overdose on a certain thing that's in cinnamon. But
really?
Still, it's very unlikely. Back to the subject.
Another piece of information that he happened to have in his back fucking pocket.
Herb Reagan wants to know if you're just smoking tobacco.
Now, with the UFO alien spacecraft thing, Jared's right to point out the fact that what it actually means is unidentified flying object. And the reason he's it's important to make that distinction, especially if you're talking to a crazy person like that, is because they will always move the goalposts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They will talk about UFOs for hours as if they're alien spacecraft, but right. the minute you're like, look, there's no evidence of alien civilization, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you saying there's no unidentified flying objects out
right,
there?
Right.
It's like, no, that's not what I'm saying at all.
I'm saying there's a lot of objects that you, as an ignorant moron, can look up and be confused by, including me, by the way. And I'm not an ignorant moron, I don't think.
But you're
think.
Not an astronomer.
But well, I'm, yeah.
And also,
I got confused once by a star in the sky.
Sure.
I thought I was watching a moving target. We pulled off the road. We were coming back from Vegas, and it was a fucking set
Air
of
Force
stars.
Pilots get confused by stars
yeah.
all the time. These are people trained to keep their eyes on the sky and fly carefully, and they get startled and confused by stars.
Yeah.
But it's also, defining terms is important, because when you're dealing with official entities, when you're dealing with government agencies, when you're dealing with official military reports, and they're using technically accurate terms like unidentified flying object, this is an object we saw in the sky, we can't identify it, that does not mean alien spacecraft.
Right.
But when people use the terms to mean the same thing as each other, and they read official reports, and they say, look, even they say it's a UFO.
Why on the news don't they say this? You know what I mean?
Well,
when they talk
sexy.
About UFO, it's fucking, it's
if,
bullshit.
If they allow UFO to mean whatever their listener, their reader or watcher or listener wants it to mean, that's more exciting.
Whatever. All right. The reason I asked you two to come do a show.
Aha.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Is because, Jarrett, you posted a glowing review, I would have to argue, of the new Xbox.
No.
No?
I will argue that.
You're going to...
I posted a defense of some of the concepts behind it and why I think that they have potential value in the next generation,
okay.
while I'm still on the fence about which system I'm buying.
Okay. You're not sure yet.
I'm still not set.
Okay.
Currently, I own an Xbox 360 and a Wii, and my girlfriend owns a PlayStation 3 and a Wii.
Your girlfriend?
My girlfriend, yes.
All right. So... I found it very intriguing to watch the argument. It was so wonderfully nerdy, and
Thank you. And
I stayed out of it because I don't know the technical aspects of these machines. I have an Xbox sitting right over there, and we play it on rare occasion. I'm not a big gamer.
Sure,
you do the Xbox, I presume.
I do,
John.
Yeah.
And what's your take on the new Xbox? Are you aware of it?
Oh yeah. I'm divided as well as Jared is, but maybe for completely different reasons. On the one hand, you know, it's trying to be the all-in-one encompassing machine. It's trying to replace your TV and your Blu-ray player. It's trying to replace things that you already own. Yeah, Skype.
In one box.
Yeah, and it's trying to replace things that you already own that already do the things that it wants to do far better than the Xbox does.
I'm polyamorous, so I don't want everything in one box.
Yeah, I mean, I went out and bought a Blu-ray player.
Nothing?
I got
nothing on that? Are you kidding me? That was hilarious.
No.
Okay.
I actually went out and bought a Blu-ray player because I was sick of my Xbox 360 not being able to do Netflix properly or a lot of the other things that I've been using it for. However, on the other hand, I think they're playing the statistics, and they realize that the vast majority of time spent on the Xbox, even though gamers don't want to admit this, is watching Netflix, is Skyping, is Twitter.
It is predominantly a media box now more than a gaming box for the majority of users.
And so I can rip it a new one of it's not as good as the other stuff that people with that kind of money would be buying anyways, but we're going to end up using it for that shit anyways.
See, and I disagree that it's not as good from a few standpoints. For one thing, the best Blu-ray player on the market pretty much for the entire run up till now, and as far as I'm aware, pretty much still, has been the PlayStation 3.
Really?
When the PlayStation 3 launched, it was predominantly the best Blu-ray player on the market. It has received steady updates from Sony of sorts that have never been able to reach third-party players. And consistently, it's considered, if you want a Blu-ray player, get a PlayStation 3. Because A, it does it at least as well or better than standalone units. And B, it does other stuff that isn't just play Blu-ray.
That's what Kumail says.
And so that's the same thing for Xbox One.
I called Kumail to ask him if he was in town because he feels very strongly about this too.
Okay.
Nanjiani. And he is in the Carolinas and could not join us for that reason. All right. This is the first video I found that I think covers very well what we're talking about. At least it establishes.
Is it the new Xbox One? No, it's a 1980s VCR machine. I mean, are you kidding me, Microsoft? Seriously, that thing looks like an absolute piece of garbage. You know, I'm just so disappointed. That looks so horrible. That thing is going down the drain, you know. And all the things they talked about throughout the whole of the press conference was TV. I heard the TV word was said like 50
the
times
TV word.
By everyone. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. They've not produced a gaming machine here. That is not their focus. They've diverted too much of their attention onto like the peripheral things like the TV and the Skype and all the other crap that you don't want. All we want is for them to put all of their resources into making it a good gaming machine. You know, the fact that you can watch TV on it, you know, that problem was like kind of solved 15 years ago with something called cable, which I have. So I don't need it to watch TV. I don't need it to watch Skype and all that because I've got a computer. Why can't they just make something that's a proper gaming console rather than loads of shit on it that's going to slow it down, loads of unnecessary crap running in the background that I don't want? I mean, this is just absolutely terrible, and I just hope that nobody buys it because it looks disgusting.
Okay.
He's upset about this.
He's very upset.
By the way, that's
the British Andy Milonakis. I don't know if you knew that.
All right.
But
Can I just say that I love that all these, you know, nerd gamers have all of a sudden become sassy interior decorators.
Right?
I've heard so much vitriol about the look of it. Like, who gives
Which is funny because...
big and bulky. It's bigger than the other Xbox, isn't
but
it?
But then, no. Well, bigger than the current Xbox, because the current Xbox has shrunk. They've shrunk it consistently over
They just
over
made
each.
It bigger, though.
I don't care
So now it's back to the original size, because they've packed a bunch of stuff in it. But, yeah, I find it funny, particularly because then Sony unveiled the PlayStation 4, and it looks
Same
like an Xbox One in italics.
Thing.
Right, right.
That's funny.
It's slightly smaller, but otherwise it's the same squared-off duotone, but skewed at an angle. His argument's there. First of all, that video, it's really important to note, that video was in response to Microsoft's press conference about a month ago.
Right.
The one before E3.
Okay.
And I trashed it then, too. Mainly, I trashed the press conference, because the press conference was, I'll sum it up, sports, TV, TV, sports, EA, sports, EA, sports, TV, TV, Halo TV by Steven Spielberg, sports, EA.
Oh, and don't forget, we're not that old.
Right.
Kids.
So it was that conference was bad, but what Microsoft did there was the same thing Nintendo did when they unveiled the Wii's name a month before E3.
Okay.
Nintendo unveiled the name of it because they knew people were going to laugh at it, and they wanted it out of their system before they got around to E3 and actually talked about the system and the games.
They're doing this on purpose.
Microsoft focused on all of the stuff that wasn't gaming related so that their press conference at E3 wouldn't be full of people complaining about how much they talked about things that weren't games.
I'll be goddamn.
And at E3, what did they do? They talked about all games.
This is almost conspiratorial.
Almost, except what it is smart.
It's marketing.
It's marketing.
It's marketing.
They prepared. And so I gave them the same shit then because it was disappointing. And then I remembered, oh, wait, E3's in 3 weeks. That's when they're going to talk about games. And that's what they did. But then they made a case for a game system.
Let's get to the games. This is kind of what I consider to be the burning issue to me, which is...
not backward compatible?
Neither system is backwards compatible.
And they can't be.
Which means you can't play previous generation's games.
Which sucks.
Which sucks.
Sure. But historically, most video game systems have been that
way.
They've changed architecture completely. What they've done, it's kind of like going from French to English. The chip itself, the main processor itself in the Xbox 360.
Put the mount, motherfucker. See how easy that was?
It's based off of a PowerPC. That's what, remember the Macs, the G processors, those were all PowerPC.
So,
and then Apple went to Intel processors.
Yeah.
They're making the same switch from PowerPC to x86.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to stop you right there. Hold on. The games are processor specific?
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's
a fact.
They're compiled for a specific processor.
Okay.
All software is.
Okay.
Software in general is. Now, when you made the switch, when the Macs made the switch from the PowerPC to Intel processors, they had some degree of emulation in
there.
You could play some of the classic ones. But if you remember correctly, the apps you ran like mud.
They go
Half
slower.
Of them didn't work.
Yeah.
A bunch of them didn't work, and you couldn't play games that way.
Games
just plain didn't. Of course, there weren't any games for Macs anyway then.
So that's not something that we should expect.
It's not possible.
Yeah. What about all the dozens of games that people have bought that now
they still
are
play them on
useless.
Their last system?
They have
so you
their,
have to get
they
an
still
extra...
leave their old
Amanda
Xbox
has
up.
Five or six different Nintendo systems. Three?
Sure.
Three different Nintendo systems setting on her
console. And historically,
console.
Most game consoles have not had backwards compatibility. Sometimes they do, but like you go from Nintendo to Super Nintendo to N64 to GameCube. None of those played the previous one systems. The PlayStation 2 did play PlayStation 1 games. PlayStation 3, the initial systems that they released could play PlayStation 2 games, and they yanked that functionality out after about 6 months and stopped allowing it.
Wow. Right.
And if you're feeling nostalgic, they're going to be online. You can download them and play them and buy them again.
And they eventually recompile them with better graphics and
now,
make
let me
them
ask
available
you this.
Again.
If I walk over there and I turn my machine over while it's playing,
you will fuck up your disc.
It doesn't. I've moved this before.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a known thing that you're warned not to do because
well,
it used to destroy discs.
Let me. This one doesn't.
Okay.
But we
might have one of the revised ones that fix the problem.
We're gonna play a video of the brand new machine.
Uh-oh.
This is probably exactly what I'll be playing on my new Xbox 360. Oh.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah,
you need to tell me not to do that.
If you read the sticker that's sitting right here.
Was it really a sticker?
Yes.
Right there? Awesome.
He just chewed his fucking DVD up.
And what was he using?
He lifted it up. It's the new one. I think it's the new one.
No one has their physical hands on an Xbox One.
Am I wrong?
Apparently.
Is that the old one? That's a 360.
It says 360.
Hey, that's yours.
So this is the one I have.
Right there, Emery.
That's an Xbox.
It's never done that to me.
We don't have a little
well,
sticker.
Well, you're not supposed to do that.
Okay, cool.
With the game actively playing, that's a warning. You're not supposed to do that. And a lot of people screwed up their systems and blame Microsoft for it. And it's like, we told you not
well,
to do that.
Well, that'll tear up the workings, right?
Right, and it'll do it to a computer. You know, you can turn a lot of desktop computers on their side.
Right.
And you do that, it will screw it up.
Okay. I hate to bogart this, but that's not what I want to talk about.
What do you want to
talk
about?
I want to talk about used and borrowed games, and I'm talking for the new system.
This is the big
issue.
The
new game for the new system.
Is it true that you can't take your game over to another person's house and play it on their
system?
No. Only once.
No, that's not true. That's not true. The moment you sign into your account at your friend's house, you both have full access to your entire library of every game you own streaming instantly.
So the opposite is true. If you own a game, you can go anywhere and play that game, and you don't have to, like, I know a lady who has a kid who got a bunch of machines. They bought a bunch of machines so they could have a big, huge party where everybody was gaming at this in the same room. And they had to buy the games multiple times. And,
the new setup Microsoft has here is there is one master account now. It used to be, and this was a complaint, and it was a valid complaint, everybody to play online, each person had to have their own Xbox Live Gold account, and they pay monthly for that. The new system,
I had it for a while.
Yeah. The new setup is that you have one account, same monthly fee, and 10 family members on it. Oh. And all 10 family members have access to the entire library of games you own. They're all shared, and two of you can play at the same time on separate systems. And you can log into any other system as any of those family members and instantly have access to the entire library from your friend's house, from the Xbox in your garage because you're one of those people.
So, John, do you see a problem?
I've got a question. What if you don't want to play online? Are there any games that you can play without being online?
And that's a valid question. It is one of the potential issues.
There are people who aren't online.
The system does require checking into the internet at least once every 24 hours.
Yeah, that's
what does that mean? Like, you have to actually go and turn on
You don't have to do anything. The Xbox is basically always on in the background in a very low power state. And every once in a while, it basically sends a heartbeat signal back to the mothership and says, hey, what's the current license status of this user? What games do they own?
Do we know how often it calls home?
I don't know what the minimum time is.
Okay.
They haven't really said that. But generally speaking, it's checking in frequently to make sure see if there are updates available. So you never turn on the system, try to play a game and say, oh, there's a mandatory update. I have to sit here for a half hour for download. It does that on its own.
So you just
when
have
you're not
to stay online.
Correct. It basically stays online.
Most
in a
of our
very
devices these days
do
that
mode.
Too.
Right.
Most
our
of our
tablets
devices.
Are all doing that. Our phones are all doing that.
Yeah. And that I don't have a huge beef with. What
sure.
I have a huge beef with.
Oh, I
is
wish
when...
I could hear what you have a huge beef with. But we got to take a break. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable, very frustrating to John Rael intermission. And now a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to the listeners: Mom, One Setter, Kyle Delaney, Dave Pollock, our faithful Skeptic Tank post. Herbie Reagan,
hey.
Wendy, Jam, Qbert, Mark Nowitzki, JM, Cameron Winters, and Joe Swam. These were some of the screen names of the people chatting in the Skeptic Tank last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
That's right. Thank you, everybody. And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jarrett Lennon Kaufman, and now we get to hear from John Rael.
Here's my beat.
Oh, I didn't turn your mic on.
Son of a bitch.
All right, let's hear. Oh, the show's over. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
Here is my beef.
What's your bitch?
You buy a game, like, I mean, the physical game, brand new release, whatever, and you play the hell out of it, and you go to sell it or give it away. Only one person is ever allowed to get that game again. And first of all, you have to be friends with them on your Xbox account for at least 30 days.
What?
And after they have it, they can no longer give it away or sell it again.
Can they give it back to the original owner?
You're just renting it.
Can they give it back to the original owner?
That's a good question.
Not a fully accurate description, but there is something there. As far as just plain giving your game away or selling it to a friend, specifically to a friend, they have to, yes, have been your friend for 30 days.
That's so absurd.
The point there is to prove that it's actually a buddy and not that you're doing some kind of a scam system where you're just trading games with to other people who you don't know.
You know that scam system where you used to borrow stuff from people?
Yeah. There's more to it than
what
that. But the idea there is, you know, the thing of friends giving their games to other buddies.
Yeah, want them to have
showing
their own.
They're actually your friend as opposed to some of the potential
eBay.
Ways this could be exploited.
Go on. Now, what did he
and
miss?
You can
what's
give
he
it
got
away
wrong?
Or sell it to a friend only once. As far as selling it to a game store or any type of reselling system like GameStop,
yeah.
As far as I'm aware, they have not stated any limitation to how many times you can do that.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. They the Xbox and the PS4 and the developers, they always pretend that they're not cool with GameStop. Like, man, we got to stop using games, blah, 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 blah. Well, until they do, they are best fucking friends, because this means, with this new system, this means that all the used game sales have to go to GameStop.
Or anybody else.
Or any other
dealer.
Any other
game store whatsoever.
But not people.
They can all sign up on it. Well, the people can sell, right, the people can sell
Listen,
it once.
Listen, if there's a way to take these to the game shop and sell it to them where mm-hmm. they would be able to then resell it.
Yeah.
Am I wrong, Jarrett? Isn't that just going to be something you could go in and go, I'm giving it to my friend Kevin. Now fix it and then give it to him,
Pretty
and
much,
they charge
yeah.
you $5 or $10.
Pretty
I mean,
much, yeah.
To right? Because
that's the way the system works. Essentially, is they get an account with Microsoft, which just allows them. All it does is give them an easy way to transfer the license, because that's all this is now. The big deal that's changed here with what Microsoft's allowed for is the disc. If you buy a physical copy of the game,
yeah.
the disc is only a way to easily install it fast onto your hard drive.
Okay.
It is not the game. The game is the license. Just like on your iPad, just like on my Android phone, just like a Steam game, you aren't buying the physical copy. The physical copy is irrelevant. You have bought a license to it. Now this license is associated to your account. You can play your game on any Xbox One you want. It belongs to you. So to resell it, there's a system in place that allows you to say, hey, here's my Xbox Live account. I authorize you to take ownership of this game, and the license transfers out of your hands. That's the way the system works.
Yeah.
It's meant to allow the new modern world of ownership, which...
No, it's not. I'm sorry, I disagree with you. It's meant to maintain control over a product we're paying for. That's in my opinion. That's
in a less restrictive way than what we've already become standard on.
No, they're going to decide. They're going to decide how much. They're going to set the prices.
No, they've made that very clear that they will not.
They've
made that very clear that they will not control prices. That's been the standard policy they've announced.
All right.
What about this Big Brother Connect thing?
And that's been overblown too. So the Microsoft Connect, which came out for the Xbox 360
overblown is
initially,
a bad word because it suggests something bad, but it's, you know.
Sure.
There's no such thing as being overblown.
Uh-huh. Fair. The Kinect already exists for the Xbox 360, and the one for the One is going to be much more advanced. 1080p, high def, can articulate fingers on screen. It's ridiculously more impressive. A really cool power it's got is you can turn on your Xbox with it by saying Xbox on. People are losing their shit over the fact that it must be listening to and recording everything you say. Now, Microsoft's response to this has been twofold. One, well, you can turn that feature off. It's optional. So if you're worried about it, fine, don't use it. And the other thing is it is literally, they've made it clear, it's only listening for the words Xbox on. It's not recording. It's not tracking. It's not uploading information. It's not doing anything other than listening for that exact phrase.
That doesn't bother me. I mean, you know me, Jared. Yeah. I've always been of the opinion that privacy was a fun experiment for about a century of humankind,
right.
And now it's over.
Right.
And it was only an experiment. Prior to that, we all lived in the same exact house. you know, fucking and sucking and eating and shitting. And then we finally created walls and hallways, and now
so that we could
over.
Fuck and shit and eat in different rooms.
Yeah,
that's a good thing. I like
now,
that.
Yeah, but now privacy's over again.
People are also complaining about the controller. It seems they said that was an upgrade, but it didn't really upgrade to much.
See, I've not seen much complaint. I've gotten my hands on the controller. It's really nice.
In what way?
And I think it's a much nicer controller upgrade than the PlayStation one, because the PlayStation control. I mean, most of the complaints have been that it's ugly. I think it's irrelevant. But no, the physical feel of it, it's been really nicely refined. They made a big deal out of like 40 changes they made to it, which I don't know, it seems arbitrary number.
And I love
but
my 360
it physically
controller.
Feels really nice in the hand. And the big deal is it now has vibration controls in the two trigger sticks. So besides the standard vibration controls in the base of it, the triggers themselves vibrate independently, and it really produces some cool effects. They had demos at the Microsoft store that I got to play with. And you can feel the vehicle you're
this
driving.
This sounds
like,
so sexual. Do we
brakes.
Have to blur his mouth for this?
Yeah. Well, imagine what could be done with it.
I know,
but,
right?
Yeah, there's some. I mean,
we're getting there. One
the
day we're going to be fucking these
games,
machines.
The helicopters, you can feel it moving from one trigger to the other. Yeah. The anti-lock braking system in the car. It's really cool.
Now,
I personally
ask you
think
something.
It's a better upgrade.
Talking about the price, I want to be clear about what I'm saying. When you go into a store to sell something, they give you half of retail for it.
That's a typical one.
Right?
Different stores do different
on average, though.
Well, yeah, it depends on the popularity of
the game.
That's
my problem. And I'm with him on this. That means I can't get on Craigslist and get a reasonable amount of money. I can't be the reseller. I have to be the wholesaler of my shit in order. And that's fucked up.
Right.
That's what's wrong with this.
You have to work in their system.
Yeah.
I will grant you that.
I hate that.
It's a different market. It's a different idea. And this is going to potentially force some change.
But does it play Pong?
Do you think does it play Kong?
Pong.
Do you think it's going to work? Do you think this is going to be huge?
It's going to raise prices.
I think that people won't have a choice.
I'm concerned that it's not going to be huge, and that disappoints me because I think there's a lot of potential benefits to this system.
And I agree, once we get to that level where there are no more purchasing of games, it's just a monthly subscription. And that'd be beautiful and great. And we're close. We're getting there.
See, I don't like that one.
They're giving really? They're giving away like two games every month.
Oh,
if you
yeah,
have an
but
Xbox.
That's yeah. Right now, if you've got Xbox Live Gold, you get two free games.
But
a
one
month,
of these days, it's just going to be a monthly subscription where you just have access.
That's
to
where
the
they're
whole
moving
library.
The Netflix of games. I don't think so. I don't
I
think
would
so.
Love that.
The publishers will hate that.
I want to play a video of my favorite nerd on YouTube.
Okay.
Talking about this.
All right.
I have about five different cuts of this guy.
Okay.
We only have time for one
first
here
of all,
in the free.
Let's start off with this harmonizing your living room bullshit. All right. Harmonizing the living room. How the fuck does that get me to my games faster? How does it make my games look better? Do you know what you're selling, Microsoft? Do you even remember what the Xbox was meant to be? Do you even remember what the primary consumer of the Xbox wants to do with the Xbox? Fuck, do you even know what an Xbox is?
All right,
it's a gaming console. You know what that means?
Here he goes.
Microsoft?
Here he goes.
It means it's meant for fucking gaming, not media.
He's got an anger management issue. It's so fucking hilarious.
So here's what's.
No,
what's,
I wish you could tell us. So here's what's. But guess what? We got to wrap up the free version of the show. But we will get into here's what's right after that. Do not lose what you were talking about because we're going to come right back to it. That's it for the free version of episode 42. Another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guests Jarrett Lennon Kaufman and John Rayel.
Anything you want to promote?
Yeah,
catch
do you guys
me,
want to
catch lunch? Me tomorrow on Steve Shives Google Hangout around 5 o'clock. Steve Shives.
All right,
check it out.
Cool. You go to the Hangouts,
and you can find all of my social networks at turbofool.com.
Turbofool.com.
And theoddsmustbecrazy.com.
Good
my
show.
Project.
Good show. Recorded one here a couple weeks yesterday. I also want to thank my co-host Heather Henderson. Tune in next week when our guests will be
Ryan Dunning, Gray Drake, and Steve Gelder.
We have them booked, and we'll be talking about
how sexy Gray is.
Yeah, she really is.
Our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of the Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Skeptic Tank moderator, Joseph Xboxer Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Boxfister Winters.
You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on skepticallyyours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery,
and I'm Heather Henderson,
and we are
Skeptically Yours.
Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe. For those of you who are watching now, we're going to run the premium episode right here on Ustream.